The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
The Lord shows up. He shows up in a mighty way. And whether we know that He's here, whether we receive that He's here, whether or not we understand what's going on, He shows up and He means business when He shows up. Amen. The mountains have to move when our Lord speaks, amen. The sea has to part, amen. I don't know who that was for, not in my notes, but somebody needs to understand that He's a mountain moving, sea splitting God, amen. And that's the God that I serve. That's the God that I love. That's the God that I talk to in the wee hours of the morning. This year, some of you guys know has been rough. I lost my dad just after Christmas, and this year has been a long year for me because Daddy was a preacher, and I could go, Dad, how did you do this? What did you deal with in this? And Dad's gone, and I had to lean on the understanding and the knowledge and the wisdom that He had given me over the years. I took it so for granted. You know, get on the phone and dial 563-7326. Hey, Daddy, how you doing? I got a problem. Tell you who was even rougher was Mama when Mama passed away in 2019. Because Mama loved me. She encouraged me. She was an encourager. Not that this crowd's bad. The Lord's took out most of the bad ones. No. But I tell you, pastors deal with some people. You know that, right? Not present company excluded, but some people are tough to deal with. Some people you can show them what the Word of God says, and they're going to do their own thing anyway. That self-willed, strong-willed, that's hard to deal with, Pastor. Why am I going through troubles? Why am I going through struggles? Why am I going through? Well, are you doing this? Are you doing what the Bible says? Are you following the leadership of the Lord? Are you praying? Are you tithing? Are you in the Word? Well, you know, I ain't got time for none of that. Well, guess what? The world is going to find time to take time away from you. You're going to have time to go through a trial. You're going to have time to go through stuff. You better put the Lord first. Just going to throw that out there. That was free. I won't charge you nothing for that. Like to say welcome to everybody joining us on the web today. We are so glad that you're here, and we're glad that you're with us. Boy, I tell you what, if you're in the Warsaw area, you should have been here this morning. You should have been here. The Spirit of the Lord fell this morning. Amen? I wish that you could have felt what we felt. And maybe, if you're watching this after your service or wherever, praise God, I hope He fell in your place too. All right, we're not exclusive. We don't want to, but I hope that He fell in your place too. Amen. Well, hallelujah. We've been coming through some awesome classes. We had a 14-week series, and then we wrapped it up last Wednesday night in week number 15 on understanding the end times. And the lion's share of that in understanding the end times was people, we have to be able to hear from the Lord. How do we hear from the Lord? One of the things that wrapped up in the study was in the end time, the Lord is looking for people who are completely committed to Him. Now, we had some people that were in the class up until that point, didn't we? But the night that we came through that you must be completely committed to Jesus Christ, we haven't seen Him since. Like the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. He said, tell me, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, follow the commandments. You know the commandments. He says, all these I've kept since my youth. Oh, okay. So you had a checklist and you were going through them all the time. Every day you get up and you went through your checklist, you know. Have no other gods before me, you know. Don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat. Honor your mother and your father, you know. Don't commit adultery, you know. Don't covet. Well, yeah, all those I've done since my youth. And Jesus dialed in. You got to know that Jesus is about ready to dial in on some folks. He's about ready to dial in because Jesus said, okay, all right, I got you. You know, my grandfather was from Moorhead, Kentucky, and he had a saying. He says, I'm going to break you from sucking eggs. That's what they do to old coon hounds. You know, they get in the hen house, and them eggs were for human consumption, not for dog consumption. They said, I'm going to break you from sucking eggs. And Jesus dialed right in on him, didn't he? He said, well, then go sell everything that you have, give to the poor, and then come follow me. Go give away everything that you've got. Sell it, give your money to the poor, and then come follow me. And he went away sorrowful because Jesus identified who his real, true God was. All right. Whew. Thank you, Lord, for that. We have to be, especially in these end times, we have to be sold out to Jesus. We have to be totally committed. Because if we're not, the devil will find that area where we're not committed, and he will exploit that to draw us away from our walk with the Lord. You know, the devil doesn't have to knock you completely out of the game. I'm going to get deep here, guys. Stay with me. The devil doesn't have to knock you completely out of the game. The devil doesn't have to make you hate God. The devil just has to get you to take your eyes off of him. And then being like Peter, you'll be beginning to say, Lord, help me, save me, I'm sinking. But you know what the terrible thing about the church in America today? Peter, beginning to sink, called out to the Lord. The church that we know, a lot of them are underwater, and they still are not crying out to the Lord, save me. In this last day, the only thing that's going to be able to save us is not our political affiliation. It's not our government. It is Jesus. Amen. Jesus, the Savior of the world. So we went through this, and one question came out of it more than all, because we have to be able to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. We have to be able to follow the leadership. We have to hear his voice. And some people were asking the question, how can I hear God? How can I hear when God is speaking to me? How do I know that it's God? Well, this morning I'm going to give you how you can know that it's God. Unequivocally, I'm going to give you how you can know that it's the Lord speaking to you. And not like Pastor Burkhart said, a pizza dream. You know, not indigestion, but you can know that it is God leading. Wouldn't you like to know that? All right. So just stick with me. We'll be out of here by 3, but we'll... All right. I want to address today how we can tell when the Spirit of God is speaking to us. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. Oh, let me give our verse this time for the year. We seek out the direction for the year where the Lord wants us to go. And this verse the Lord gave us back in December, about the time that we were attending my dad's funeral. And this is what Jesus said to him. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. He said, this is the first and great commandment. You know, if I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my mind, and with all my soul, I ain't got no room to love nothing else. But if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to me. But they're added on. They're not instead of. They don't take God's place. They're added on to. Amen? I'm not preaching that message again. Y'all can go back and get the tape. We're gonna talk about Jesus today. Amen? Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Hearing and following the Spirit inside of you. All right? And I'm going to give you a lot of passages today. And if you want the scriptures, let me know afterwards, and I can either get you a printout of them, or I can email them to you, whatever. The Apostle Paul, talking to the church in Rome, he said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, now notice that's capitalized. That means we're talking about a person. That's a personal pronoun. The Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, amen? Something very real and dear to my life this week. That spirit of adoption became real this week for us in the Sparks household. But we have another adoption wherein we have been adopted, and now we cry out, Abba, Father. Let me just break that down for you. Abba, some people are like, well, Abba, what are you talking about? Abba simply translates straight across, verbatim, Daddy. Oh, boy. 7 months without my dad. And I needed a daddy to take his place. And I found him in the Lord, amen? I found who I could look to, who I could go to, and he's an ever-present help in my time of need and in my time of trouble, amen? We cry out, Abba, Father. And verse number 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You're a child of God. Anybody ever come up to you and say, who do you think you are? Well, you just tell them, I am a son or a daughter of God Most High. He thinks I'm a pretty big deal. What? You know, people like to think that a lot. Well, who do you think you are? Especially nowadays when they're forcing compromise on every hand. Oh, you got it. You can't do this. You can't say that the Bible is true. You can't say, who do you think you are? I think I'm a child of the Most High God. Matter of fact, I'm his favorite. Just like everybody else is his favorite. I never understood that. Mom and dad I had a brother and a sister, and each one of us, as we were reflecting, each one of us thought that they made us feel like each one of us were their favorite. Man, that is a gift. Now, were we? Oh, yeah. When Mama wanted to go play golf, I was the golfer. When Mama wanted to go fish, I was the fisher. You know, when she wanted other things done, it was my sister, and it was my when she wanted to do the things that I didn't like to do, then my sister would, and then when she wanted to do the things that me or my sister wouldn't do, then my baby brother. Isn't that amazing? God has the ability to make us all feel like we're his favorites. That's one of the things I loved about Pastor Burkhart so many years. You know, he probably did have preferences, but he never did make me feel like an outsider because he had a shepherd's heart and he loved the sheep. What a testimony. So we are the children of God. In Proverbs 20:27, and again, I'm going to be skipping around a lot, so bear with me, but you're going to like it. In Proverbs 20:27, it says that the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching the inner depths of his heart. The spirit of the man is the lamp of the Lord, and the spirit searches the inner depths of the man's heart. If we want to hear from the Lord, we have to open up that door and allow the spirit to search us. Search me, O Lord. Search me, O Lord. All right? The word teaches that you are a spirit and you have a soul, but you live in a body. Three parts, right? Hebrews 4:12 says, and again, we're going somewhere, so hang with me. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Some of us are in trouble. Some of us have become double-minded. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, the word says. And some of us do things on the outside to put on a show, but on the inside, your Bible says that we look like whitewashed tombs or sepulchers, but on the inside, we're full of dead men's bones. The church today is really good about putting on a show. Am I going to get in trouble? Probably. How many more thousands of hate emails I'm going to get? The church today is real good about cleaning up the outside, but on the inside, we hoarding every little evil thing that we can, and we just putting on a show for people outside us, not knowing that there is a gift of discerning of spirits where people can look into your heart and say, there's something in there that ain't right. At least back in Lazarus' day, when he was in the 4 days, at least then they said, Lord, surely he stinketh. It's about time that some of us in the body of Christ say, look, surely there's a stink raising up around you. There's something that's dead in you, something that's died in you. Surely to goodness, some of us love our brothers and sisters enough to say, I'm smelling something rotten here. I had an old 15-passenger Ford van back when we were youth pastors, and we took a trip somewhere. I think it was Kings Island or Cincinnati. They'd worked hard. They did car washes and all kinds of stuff. They did them slave auctions, and when we were coming on the way back home, we stopped down around Anderson somewhere and stopped and got everybody big old milkshakes and all this. And one little gal in the back, I still haven't figured out how it happened, but she had set her milkshake inside the fender, and it dropped in the fender well. Somehow she'd set it on the window ledge, and there was a hole back there. She could reach in and get the wrench or the tire wrench or whatever, and it had dropped in there. And unbeknownst to me, I thought everything was good. I looked in the back, no baggage, no clothes, no nothing. That we need to give, no money. And of course, I always said money was tips for the driver, but no, I just said I didn't know. And it was hot. And you know what happens to milkshakes in 98-degree temperature in a closed-up van? I went, and my first clue should have been when I opened up the door of that van in a week. I opened up the door of that van, and there were like a million flies buzzed out into the air. And I'm like, something fishy in Denmark or in the Econoline. And then it hit me. And I'm like, whoa, surely it stinketh. And I looked, because I thought I cleaned. I thought I took care of business. I'll just pause there and let that sink in. I thought I had everything taken care of. I opened up the back doors and it's got to be close. I pulled the spare tire, and it's like, not there. And then I noticed this brownish, sticky stuff that looked like glue and resin coming underneath the jack. And I touched it, and it didn't want to let go. We had an instant bond. And I think when I finally pulled my hand off, it took off a couple of layers of skin. I looked inside there, and sure enough, I don't know which restaurant it was. Let's just say Burger King, malted shake, or Wendy's, or something like that. And it was like, found it. Now, I could have been like most of the believers today. I could have just tried to cover it up and hide it. Yeah, it might have been a good time to trade that thing in, but I didn't. You see, once you know that it's there, the only way to get rid of it is to cleanse it. The only way to get rid of that hidden stench, that hidden thing, those dead men's bones that are inside you, is to allow Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, to cleanse you. Like David said this morning, I requested in prayer this morning, Psalm 34, that this poor man cried out unto the Lord, and he heard him, and he delivered me from all of my problems, all of my troubles, and the Lord will do the same for you. And then we can say to the Lord, like David, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's not being taught today in the church. Theologians have changed the gospel to fit the crowd. But let me just tell you something. The gospel changes people to fit the Lord. We've got it backwards. There's a stench. And people aren't missing it. The Word of God teaches that you're spirit and you have a soul and you live in a body. And 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself..." Who's the God of peace? Himself. We're not going to have peace any other way in this world. Matter of fact, be leery when everybody says peace, peace. Know that the end is near. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you partially." No. There's some people that only want partial sanctification. There's some people that only want to feel good. There's some people that want their pastor to say, "Oh, now it'll be all right. You'll be okay." There's some people that watch some people on the television and that preacher says, "I'm okay, you're okay, we're okay." It's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that the God of peace himself may sanctify you. Sanctify is a big word, and that means to set you apart completely. We're going to have to be set apart from some things. We're going to have to set apart from some people. We're going to have to come out and be ye separate, thus says the Lord. We're not to join with them, but we're to show them that there is a way that is going upward. We're on that upward path, that ever-increasing upward path, that narrow path. So we're to sanctify. We're sanctified. And sanctified completely. If he's going to remove everything that's not pleasing to him, we need to know what's pleasing to him. And how do we know what's pleasing to him is by listening to his voice and understanding his word. Amen? Sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, not part, not I say this all the time, you have to bear with me because it's a good one, not 99 and 44 one-hundredths percent pure, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be preserved blameless. You know, there's something about making mistakes, but then getting back up after you. You know, we fall down, but we get back up. The devil may trip us up, but we don't have to lay and wallow in it. The birds may fly over your head, as the saying goes, but you don't have to allow them to make a nest in your hair. It's up to you. Are you allowing stuff in your life that the Lord is finding displeasing? And you got to be careful if you are, because it will draw you from the Lord. Remember, the devil doesn't have to take you out. All he has to do is misdirect you. You ever been traveling and back before the days of GPS, or even in the days of GPS? Do you know that that's how come 10 cars have ended up in Center Lake, and why they changed the road? Changed the boat launch over to 15? GPS, it looked like 15 went right through the middle of Center Lake. And there are people that just follow in the GPS. Boy, what's that fence doing right here? I guess I go through the gate. Wow, this is weird. You know, these Indiana highways are weird. They come down to one lane. They got a big gate there, and it says boat trailer parking only. Well, this is one on the highway. I wish I could tell you it wasn't true, but there have been 10 people drive into Center Lake thinking because they had a GPS that said that that's where Highway 15 went. I don't even want to talk about the truck drivers that follow GPSs and end up down. We want to be blameless, don't we? We need to stay in contact with the one who is leading and guiding us. So as men are spirit beings, now let's get into this for just a little bit, because we're wanting to learn how to hear the Holy Spirit leading us. as men are spirit beings. We're spirits. We have a spirit that God breathed in us. Genesis chapter two. You see that in the cool of the day that there was a lifeless form of Adam, and the Bible says that the Spirit of God hovered over him and breathed, or theopneustis, breathed into him the breath of life that separates us from every animal and every mammal in the world. Because God didn't do that to them. God just said, hey, I think I need a striped mule. I'm going to let Adam name him, but he's going to be a striped mule. And if you don't think God has a sense of humor, look at the platypus, the duck-billed platypus. What was that all about? I mean, seriously. But Adam, we think of Adam. By the way, I'm counter evolution, because even though we do grow and even though we do learn, you know, Adam had a pretty big vocabulary because he named all of the animals. Right? I don't see him finding any cave drawings from Adam. Stick people, stick elephants, and stick dinosaurs. I don't see any of those. As a matter of fact, when I think of Adam, and I think about that, you know, the dinosaurs that they have found. By the way, you know, evolutionists will tell you that the dinosaurs and man were millions of years apart. Then they got a problem when they get to Glen Rose, Texas, because when they were building the mall in Glen Rose, Texas, and they took it down to bedrock, there was what we would believe to be, or what we've been led to believe, was Tyrannosaurus Rex tracks being followed by a group of human tracks, and it looks like somebody was having a cookout, and somebody needed to go get the hog on. They still haven't found the missing link. Think about that. They still haven't found the missing link. Now, again, I got a theory about that. You guys just bear with me. I got a theory about that. All they got to do is put them extended warranty people on the job of finding the missing link, and if it's to be found, they'll find it. We're calling about your car's extended warranty. And doggone it, I probably should have told that guy that bought my 95. It's a good way to get him to quit calling you. I have to give him his number when they call me now. Oh, sorry, I sold that one. You want to call him. Brother Darn, if you're watching this, I love you. I won't do it. All right. Since men are spirit, we have a spirit, we're spiritual beings, spirit beings. We can connect to the spirit world with our spirit. We cannot connect to the spirit world with our intellect or our mind. Try as we may, we cannot do it. We connect to the world with our intellect. We connect with the mental realm with our intellect. And by the same token, we cannot connect with the spirit realm, with these bodies, because we connect with the physical realm with our bodies. We need to understand, we can only get to God through our spirit. That part that God breathed into us. Now, if we went through Brother Summerall's The Total Man, we understand then that our flesh has been in control for so long that it is hard for us to tell it to take a seat, because we have a right relationship with God, and the right relationship that we have, our spirit man is in control. Our spirit that God gave us is now, when we get born again, we flip the house, as it were. If I were to simplify it for you, and those of you who have kids and grandkids, you'll get this. But if I were to simplify it for you, how many of you ever watched or read the book, The Man in the Mask? The man in the mask had a look-alike, and the look-alike would be king. And so they captured the real king, and they put him in an iron mask and put him in prison. And everybody thought that the guy on the throne was the king. But in reality, it was the man in prison. And under penalty of death, no one could ever take off that mask. For if they took off that mask, they would be killed. And in prison, he was telling them, I'm not who you think I am. I'm not who you think. I'm not who you. You don't know. You don't know who you're seeing. You don't know that I'm not. Check it out. And this is back before DNA. It was back before, you know, facial recognition. It was back before all of this. And the king was in prison, and the imposter was on the throne. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 27, when the serpent beguiled Eve and Adam, and I'm not gonna lay it on the women, because Adam, if he'd have been a godly man, when the serpent come around trying to talk to Eve and convince his wife that this was God's plan, then Adam should have got him a stick and whacked him upside the head and said, "You get out of here, and you ain't got no place in my house. This is my house, this is my garden, get out." Oh, how different it would have been. Ain't too late to start, man. I didn't get any very amens there, but that, you know, hey guys, it ain't too late to start. Rise up and be the shepherd and the priest of your home. Guard your homes. Remember when Moses wouldn't take his own responsibility concerning the circumcision of his sons. All of a sudden, his wife had to step in and do it, and she saved his life. But it was really Moses' responsibility to take spiritual leadership in his house. Sorry, it didn't being taught. It would have been so much easier had it been taught. But while there's still breath, hope remaineth. Amen? All right. We connect with the world with our intellect, and we connect with our mental realm with our intellect. But by the same token, we connect with the spirit world, the spiritual realm. We cannot connect with the spiritual realm with these bodies. We connect with the physical realm with these bodies. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Amen? And old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Unfortunately, he's talking about old things, a new creation. There's a new spirit in us. Our spirit becomes regenerated to God. We become reconnected to God. But the flesh, this earthly tent that we live in, is the prison that holds our spirit. And there's a struggle. Even though, you know, a lot of people say, and I heard this for years growing up. Well, Satan knows he's defeated. Satan knows that he's why does he keep fighting? Well, why does your flesh keep fighting? Let's bring it a little bit in. Let's bring it in. We don't have to worry about Satan. Why does our flesh keep rising up? Why do we keep doing the, like the Apostle Paul says, the things I know to do I don't do, and the things I know not to do that I do. It's a constant battle for us. Now, we can put all the blame on the devil if we want to, but we were the ones that were deceived. It was right here. It lays right here. And the only way we're going to fix it is to understand the problem. You can't fix it if you don't understand the problem. I remember Andy was having knee surgery, and they come in just before they wheeled him back, and the surgeon comes in, and he brings in his marker, and he marks on this one, and he marks on that one. He put an X over here, puts over, this is the one we're going for, this one, you know. You got to know who the enemy is. And sometimes it's not an external enemy, sometimes we're living in it. Sometimes we live in the enemy's camp, because how many of us were born saved? None. Some of us lived a long time in the world, picking up the world's habits, picking up the world's ways, and our body kind of likes that, our flesh kind of likes that, and so when our flesh is in charge, we're going to have to say, buddy, not anymore. You know, you had your season, and it's over. The Lord saved my soul, and I'm ready to go to heaven. That means you're going to have to get in line, buttercup. I'm using funny words because it's a hard thing to do. Not using funny words, but getting in line. My dad used to, one of his things when we were little kids, you know, he would say, "Betty, you better straighten up and fly right." Yeah, when I heard Daddy say that, "You better straighten up." Now, he would take a lot. Dad would take a lot. And God bless him. He raised us to be workers. He raised us to care about the Lord. But boy, when I heard Dad say, "You better straighten up and fly right," he didn't have to tell me that twice. Well, not the second time. The first time, what? You know, what do you mean fly right? What are you talking about? You know, those old euphemisms, man, they still come back. You know, I was listening the other day, and I was just praying, I was in my den, and I was just praying. I was thinking, boy, I heard Dad saying something that Dad would say. Matter of fact, we're teaching little Willow one of those, and one of my dad's favorite sayings is "by grabs." So if you hear Willow saying "by grabs," it's being passed from a generation before me down to my "by grabs." What do you mean doing that, by grabs? It's not a cuss word. It's just a hillbilly euphemism that from somebody that I love that I'm passing to somebody that I love. And it's really cool to hear her say, "by grabs," you know. No. Well, you know, you're going to pass something to the next generation. What's it going to be? It should be the Word of God, the love of God, the will of God. But as long as there's a little 3-year-old, as long as she's here and she's saying "by grabs," Papa Sparks, not this one, but the other one, it will go on living. There'll be a part of him living. I wanted to teach her that "kiss me, baby, nothing makes me sick." But I thought about that, and it's like, you know, we've got a beautiful girl there. I don't want to be saying that. And so, right? Daddy don't got near enough ammunition for that. And so, all right. Our bodies didn't change. Man, how great would it have been if our bodies would have got in line the minute we came up off the altar after receiving the Lord, or wherever we received the Lord? How different would it have been? You see, that was the lie of the devil. The lie of the devil to Eve was, "You'll be like God. You'll know the difference between good and evil." We should have went one more step. Because unlike God, although we know the difference between good and evil, unlike God, God only does right. Why aren't we ever tempted to do the right thing? That snap thought when a guy cuts you off. Not many of us praising Jesus then. We donated what was left of ours to the Goodwill. We were going down, and there was not one car length between Ashley and I, because sometimes her trailer lights don't work, and so there wasn't one car length between us. And all of a sudden, right in front of Walmart, this guy decides he's coming in, and I'm like, "Whoa, buddy, in a hurry?" And so Ashley says, "You know, I don't want to drive too fast because I don't want that stuff blowing out, because we didn't tarp it." And he realized very quickly, by the time he got to the turn lane going to 30 East, he realized very quickly that, golly, that was probably a mistake, because this person's not in the fast lane, but they're not going fast. And then he couldn't do anything because a Warsaw police car was right beside him. Ain't God good? One of us sitting back there is like, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." I love it. Because the Lord upholds the righteous with his strong right hand. If you're going through a trial, you're going through a struggle, just know that the Lord will uphold you. And know that he's put people in your path. Here at the River, we talk about the ministry of reconciliation. We're not putting anybody down. We're here to lift people up. We want to be the ones that carry the oil and the wine and go to the wounded person alongside the ditch that everybody else has passed by. And we want to lift them up, and we want to take care of them and say, "Jesus loves you." Yes, we want to be Jesus to the world today. We cannot connect the spirit world through our intellect. We connect to with the world through our intellect, and we connect through the world with our mental in the mental realm with our intellect. And by the same token, we cannot connect to the spirit world with these bodies. We connect to the physical realm with these bodies. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Aren't you glad? Amen. Now, just because somebody goes to driver's ed and learns how to run, drive the car doesn't mean that the car they're driving is brand new. It may be a 63 Ford Fairlane. It may not have USB, phone connection, hands-free, wireless, all that other gunk in it. It may not have 392 computers to keep everything going or drop everything down. It was so much easier in my 64 Chevy. I didn't have a worry. What the only electrical system on it was the lights. Most of the time, I was home by dark, or back in the country, you could drive by the light of the moon. A lot of times, I did that, especially when I was coon hunting with Dad. Don't want to spook them. Don't let them know you're coming. Today, everything is so sophisticated, so complicated. You know what? Jesus didn't want our lives to be like that. We're to be free. We're to simplify things. The simple life, you know, a lot of people think when they think about the simple life, they think about the Amish, you know, keep it simple. I know some Amish that are pretty complicated. You know, I know some Amish that they can, some of them can have buttons, some of them can't. How do you find out all the rules, you know? It was supposed to be simple. Love the Lord. Do justly, walk humbly before Him. Do good. That's it. That's it. It's simple. How can we make it, how can we complicate anything that simple? But we do, don't we? All right. The Apostle Paul was saying that if any man be in Christ, the inward man, not the outward man, has become new. Because when you're born again, you have the same body as you did before. Now, these bodies are going to be translated one day, praise God. I'm going to be standing up here stiff as a board from a garage sale or whatever. One of these days, these bodies are going to be translated, and then we will be like He is. We have a lock problem on the back, on the back fellowship door. We have a lock problem. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I found out the other day that it did. And it's one of those childproof locks. You have to push the button to get out. And we got so used to it not working that I just pushed it and I about broke my nose. And when we get that glorified body, Jesus just appeared to the disciples in the upper room. He just walked right through the locked door. I won't have to worry about that crazy door back there. I won't have to worry about a lot of things. So how do I get there? How do I get there now? I've got to pay attention to what the Lord wants me to do. I've got to listen. I've got to be able to hear His Spirit. And I'm not going to do it in the flesh. I'm not going to do it in this thing you can pinch. I'm not going to do it in my mind. I'm not smart enough to figure it out in my mind. As a matter of fact, the wisdom of men is foolishness unto God. That's why James said, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask it all from the Lord, who gives liberty to all who would ask without partiality. You can get wisdom. It's available. But you got to first believe that He is, right? Before you can even come to the Lord, you have to believe that He is. The inward man is to be in charge of our lives after we're born again. Because it is through this inward man, through our spirit, that God will guide us. Not the flesh. Through our spirit. How does God guide us? How does God lead us? Well, we have to go back to Romans 8 and 14. You don't have this. We have to go back. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So if I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God, then I'm going to be a son of God. If I'm not going to be led by the Spirit of God, can I claim that I'm a son of God? A child of God? If I opt out every time I have a choice, every time I have a chance, if I opt out, if I don't follow the Spirit of God, am I taking off my am I taking off my child status, or am I walking in disobedience? Then again, in verse 16, it says that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You know what? One of the things that people struggle with is even wondering if they're really saved. The devil will try to convince people you're not really saved. That never really happened. God never really saved you. You just were emotional. You're not really truly saved. You know what? He's talking to the flesh. He's talking to the intellect, because he can't touch the spirit that God breathed in you. It's off limits to the devil. So if the devil is trying to convince you, or any of his children are trying to convince you, oh, you weren't really saved, that never really happened, you can say, liar, you're the father of lies, and I'm not going to believe you, but I'm saved. Jesus saved my spirit, and I've got a witness of his spirit and my spirit communing together. And that's why I said this morning during worship that when the Spirit came in, some of us felt him, some of us recognized him, some of us knew that he was here. Others just thought, man, that's a pretty cool song they're singing, and gosh, that's all right. I don't mind that at all. No, I didn't mind. I didn't. Matter of fact, the song was third or fourth in the line. It was that the Lord had moved in and His Spirit had fallen, and we were receiving what we've been asking for. Prayers were answered this morning, whether we realize it or not. There's some things that changed in the heavenlies this morning when we reached out and touched God. That's how things change. You know, you can try and try and try, and you can fight and fight and fight, and you can push and push and push, and never, nothing will change. That's why that song is so important from the 60s. We just need to give up and let Jesus take over. And He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. Oh, He'll make a way. You just need to give up. You say, I don't know which way I should go. You know, the devil's been fighting me. I don't even know that I'm even saved or not. I don't know whether, you know, he's got me to believe in where I don't even know whether anything really took place, and that's what he's going to do. And what we need to be able to do is to say, you're a liar. You've been a liar from the beginning. You hate God and you hate God's children. And I'm born again. Praise God. I know that I've been blood bought. I've been redeemed. I've been sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. And you just get your bags and get out, devil. Amen. I wish more people would take that stance. Because oftentimes we flirt with the devil. We flirt. Even though we were given the example of Samson and Delilah, we still want to flirt. We still think we're better. We still think we can handle that. We still think we can, you know, a little temptation, that ain't nothing to us. But pretty soon the devil's going to figure out your secret. He's going to figure out the gap. And he's going to exploit that gap if you aren't careful. The very first way that God leads us, the number one way, is through that inward witness. Being led by the inward witness is the number one way that God guides all of His children. Many of God's children miss the moving of God because they're waiting or looking for something spectacular. And they end up missing the supernatural, because that is the inward voice, and that inward voice is supernatural. If you're looking for a spectacular move, if you're looking for something, you know, and I'm not against the outpouring where people are dancing and shouting. I'm not against that. I'm not against the goosebumps going up one side and down the other side. I'm not against any of that. But what I'm looking for is that still small voice that speaks to my heart and says, you know what? I've got 5,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal, and he's not in the thunder. He's not going to be in the lightning. He's not going to be in the wind. He's going to be in that still, small voice. And we've got to be in a place where we can hear him. We've got to quiet some things. We've got to make some things. We've got to hush some things. We've got to put some things on mute. God leads us by the inward spirit. God leads us through the inward voice. And the inward voice, your own spirit speaks to you. Your own spirit picks up that from the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that when I'm going to go away, but I'm going to leave you another comforter, and he's going to tell you the things that he hears from me. A lot of times we hear what the Lord is saying, but there's so much going on around us that it drowns it out. But the Lord is speaking to your heart. The Lord is speaking to your spirit, because the spirit that's in you is hearing from the Lord. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, he goes, I haven't told anything to you that I haven't heard from the Father. Everything that I heard from the Father, I told to you. And Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples and he said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you a comforter, and he's going to dwell in you. And the things that he hears me say, he's going to say to you. Are we listening? See, that was the big thing coming out of our class. That was, how do I know that it's God? How do I know? You know, well, a lot of times we know it's God because when we think that we heard from God and we didn't, and we go out and try it, failure. You know, sometimes God blesses our mess, but most of the time he wants to have us in the center of his will. Amen? I would rather be in the center of God's will rather than in the permissive of God's will, the permissive will of God. In the permissive will, we see Abraham and Sarah trying to make it on their own. We see Abraham and Sarah saying, you know, you're over 100, I'm well into 90. Surely those angels that came by, they got it mixed up. I've got a little handmaid back here called Hagar, and she served me really well. She's the child of the wilderness. But God said, I'll give you a child of promise. Oh, you don't want to find yourself in the wilderness. The trouble we're having in the world today is because the child of the wilderness is creating havoc against the child of the promise. That's just Bible history. You just have to go back and check it out. But the child from the wilderness is still fighting the child of the promise. And the child in you, the flesh in you, is of the wilderness. And it is fighting the spirit in you that is of the promise. That part of you that's been grafted in. Oh, a lot of people don't even know that the inward man has a voice. We sometimes call it our conscience or intuition. And now your conscience, is your conscience a safe guide? Well, if your spirit has been born again, then yes. Remember, in your new birth, your spirit becomes new. And your conscience is the voice of that new man. Now, if you're not born again or if you're in a backslidden condition, you can't believe your conscience, because some people have consciences that have become seared as with a hot iron. And that conscience is hearing from the fleshly nature. So we have to understand, we have to be born again. You must be born again. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit is abiding in you, and he doesn't directly communicate with your mind, because he's not in your mind. He's in your spirit. He's in your spirit. A lot of people try to think, God gave me a thought. No. Nope. Well, God gave me, no. Nope. God speaks to your spirit, and then your spirit translates it and puts it into you. Make sense? Well, maybe it will. Let's keep on going. 2 Corinthians 6:16, it says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If God is dwelling in us, in our hearts and in our spirits, then that is where he's going to speak to us, in our hearts and in our spirits. Now, I get inspired sometimes by things I see and things I read. I get inspired. I can be driving down the road and see a billboard and get inspired. You know, especially those ones that say next rest area 90 miles, you know. I get real inspired by that one, you know. I don't think they even have those anymore. But things in life can inspire us, but when they inspire us, but do they cause us to move toward God? Right? Let's go back and refer to Romans. You don't have to turn there, but Romans 8 and 16, it says, "For the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Notice that Paul doesn't say that the Spirit himself bears witness with our physical bodies, nor our minds, but with our spirit. How many times have your physical senses or your feelings lied to you? Lied to you. And there are people that learn how to play on your emotions and your feelings. You know, one way you can protect yourself from that is be led by the Spirit. There are people that will give you a sob story. They're in need, they're in danger, they're in peril, and they're pulling on every string that they know to pull on. Makes your heart, makes you just, oh boy, I wish I could do something. Well, you can. You got $50? That'd have been a good place to say amen. I've been there. But that's okay. I'll just, more than once, right? And where are they? Once the physical need was met, once the storm passed by. See, we're not worried about the physical right now. We're worried about eternal. We're worried about where are you going to spend eternity. You can fill a man's belly and his soul will still go to hell. You can give him all the money in the world and his soul will still go to hell. Except he repent, he will likewise perish. Amen? All right. Very often, our bodies or our flesh are dominating our lives. And if that's the case, then Satan will find an entrance into our lives through our physical senses and begin manipulating and dominating us through our feelings. Well, they hurt my feelings out there. They preach from that Bible. You know that Bible? It says some pretty tough things. Yeah. Because we serve a pretty tough God. We didn't write it. How can I veer from it if I didn't write it? How can I revise it if I didn't write it? How can I amend it? Okay, commandment number 11. How can I do that if I didn't? I'm not the author. I'm simply a hearer and a student become teacher of the word. Students don't teach and teachers don't teach their own. They teach that which is documented. That which if you ever have a teacher or college or wherever that goes off course and starts teaching something that's not in the syllabus, you can say, hey, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this. And they have to refund your money. I got a feeling not too many days hence, there are going to be a lot of people that have been finding out that they've been under false shepherds, and they're going to be saying, hey, wait a minute, I want a refund. And in Matthew chapter 7, they're going to hear Jesus say, depart from me because I did not know you. All right. It makes no difference if you feel something or not. Doesn't make any difference whether you feel like God heard your prayer or not. If the Word of God says it, it's true. John chapter 16, verse 13, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. How often do we simply not pause to find out what God is calling us to do or where God is leading us? Sometimes it takes waiting on the Lord. Now I'm meddling. I'm getting way over into the meddling. Sometimes we just got to wait on the Lord, and the Lord is going to start speaking to us and tell us what he wants to do. But we've got to be able to hear him, and we won't hear him with these ears. We won't hear him in the flesh. We will only hear him through our spirits, through that inward man. One of the saddest things in the scripture is at the end of Malachi. For 400 years, there was no revelation, no word from God. God just left them to go on their own. Pray that that doesn't happen to us. More often than not, it means waiting on him long enough to get your physical senses under control, because your flesh is screaming for attention. Sometimes it means waiting long enough to get your mind under control, because how many of us know that our mind can be just as noisy as our flesh at times? And oftentimes it keeps us up at night and will not shut off. We need to learn how to silence that. I'm waiting on the Lord. You shut up. No interruptions. So the key is learning to bring our flesh and our mind under control, and then we will begin to hear and understand what God is saying. Let me give you two life lessons, and then I'm going to continue this on Wednesday night. And by the way, love to have you back on Wednesday night. If I've intrigued you so far, wait till you see Wednesday night what we're going to do on Wednesday night. But here it is, two life lessons. Let me give them to you. One, we need to, and you can write these down. I'd encourage you to write these down. We need to train ourselves to walk in love, whether anyone else does or not. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. We need to train ourselves that, because we're not inherent with that. We love those who love us. We love those who are good to us. You guys have heard me say, when I was in college, one of the guys had one of the posters, and I think it was in Skid Row, of a wino laying in broken bottles in his own vomit and in his own excrement. And the verse underneath it that said, "Inasmuch as you've loved the least of these, my brethren, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." Jesus died for them too. We can't call anyone unlovely, because we're never going to see anyone that Jesus didn't die for. Sin may have wrecked their lives. Sin may have ruined their homes. Sin may have cost them more than they were willing to pay, but Jesus died for them. If I'm going to be Christ-like, then I've got to love them. And some I've got to love enough to tell the truth. Some I've got to love enough when I see that they're walking in error. I've got to love them enough to tell the truth. They may not like me. They may get mad, and they may go find another preacher that'll say, "Oh, no, that's just, he's just being too hard." No, I love you enough to point you to Jesus. I love you enough. Everybody said, "Well, Jesus was love. He loved everybody. He did. And he loved them enough that he wouldn't leave them in their mess." I don't have time to preach that message. Number two, life lesson number two. We need to develop and train our spirit. And the best way to train our spirit is to exercise the praying of the Spirit, or praying in other tongues. Because it's unfruitful to your mind. It's unfruitful to your natural. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 14:14. Again, the Apostle Paul, the expert on speaking in tongues, the expert on praying in tongues. The one thing that the Apostle Paul told to the churches today: do not forbid the speaking in other tongues. And what's the one thing that 99% of churches forbid? The speaking in tongues. Are they a New Testament church? No. Sorry. It's to be done decently and in order. I think my hate mail count just went up there, Pastor. I'm sorry. So I got to, you know what? I'm sorry. I can't go by men's opinions anymore. I got to go by the Word of God. Time's getting short. I got to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 14 and 4. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. My natural understanding is what he's talking about. My spirit prays. Who did we just establish that the spirit, our spirit talks to? The Spirit of God. Who do we need to hear from? God. So what is his conclusion then? What's Paul's conclusion? He says, if my spirit prays, my flesh is unfruitful. My natural understanding is unfruitful. Good, because I don't need any distractions. I don't need to be distracted by all this that's going on in the world. All that's going on in Washington. All that's going on around. I don't care. I need to get a hold of heaven's throne. And I need to hear from God. And when I hear from God, then, here, verse number 15, let's conclude what the Apostle Paul says. For what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. Whoa. Double whammy. But when I don't know how I ought to pray, the Spirit itself makes utterances for me. If I can't understand it and my understanding is void, then my enemy can't understand it. Oh, you ain't here. My enemy, it's like one of them Navajo wind talkers, and they don't even have to codify it. They just put a Navajo over here and a Navajo over there, and they can talk out in the open because nobody can decipher it. Navajos thought they had the corner on the market. Let me just tell you something. The Holy Spirit gave you the corner on the market. I thank God for some old spirit-filled, spirit-tongue-talking, spirit-praying women of God that told me, said, honey, you ain't all there yet. You ain't all that in a bag of chips. Oh, you called to preach. You called to teach. But I want to tell you something. You ain't there yet. Apostle Paul said, what's the conclusion then? I'll pray at the Spirit, and I'll also pray with the understanding. You say, well, I'm going to pray with my understanding. That's all I need. That'll get me through. Uh-huh. That's like buying a Ford Triton V10 and going to your mechanic. I only really need 5 cylinders. Cut them out. I know I got this big old V8. I don't need 8. Go ahead and cut it down to 4. It'll just look cool. A buddy of mine bought one of those new... glad Nat's not here today for this portion. A buddy of mine bought one of those new EcoBoost Fords where it cycles down 2 cylinders for you. Every time the tach hit 3, they all pop back on. Anybody that drives a big Ford F-150 or above, you know, it tacks out at 3 when you put it into drive. You're tacking out at 3,000 RPM, so guess what? All the cylinders are hitting. You come to a stoplight. You got to go. Unless you're behind a Prius, you're tacking out at more than 3. That's like fishing lures. Anybody ever notice fishing lures? They make them all kinds of pretty. They make them all kinds. By the way, ladies have a lot more color spectrum available to them than guys, because we only know, you know, the basic colors. The basic color, primary colors, except for chartreuse. And then that's where guys get on board. Now, I can get a chartreuse. Don't talk to me about no periwinkle stuff. I don't know anything about it. What's country blue anyway? They'll blow your mind, guys. Just let it go. There's a song that came out in the movie, Let It Go. Anyway, I would say some things best left to the women. Except chartreuse, we can take that one, all right? The Apostle Paul said, yeah, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to pray in the Spirit, but I'm going to pray with the understanding too. I ain't going to just rest on just one. I'm going to use everything available to me, provided to me through the Holy Ghost of God. You want to be an overcomer in today's life? You want to be an overcomer. You want to live in peace. You want to sleep in peace. You want to be able to shut your mind off. You begin to pray in the Spirit and watch what happens. Your mind will be like, hey, I don't understand any of this. I'm out of here. It'll check out faster than men shopping with their wives. You know she's going to hear about this. Good thing we got the camper packed. And we're sleeping in it this week. Praise God. But then watch this. He said, I'll sing with the Spirit. Wait. You mean you can sing in the Spirit? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You mean you can talk to God in a way that your devil can't intercept your prayers? Do you know why in the New Testament there's never a record like there was in Daniel? When the angel was dispatched to Daniel and he said, 21 days ago when you prayed, I heard you, but the prince of Persia withstood me and I had to call Michael for some help. Aren't you glad Jesus fixed that? When you pray, it's heard, and the answer is dispatched. Nothing more that pleases and touches a father's heart than to hear his kids singing. You'll have to ask Vanessa to have you show her ringtone of a little fella singing to her. Is he perfect? To her, he is. Is he Elvis? No. But he's her star. And about 4 years old, he was, happy anniversary to mommy. Happy anniversary to mommy. She will take that to the grave with her. You know what God's favorite song of all is? It's the song of his redeemed. You say, well, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. That don't matter to you, Heavenly Father. That don't matter to Daddy. You say, well, I can't sing. I would embarrass. No, you wouldn't. Because everybody else should be singing to their Heavenly Father too. And they ain't got time to be listening to the way we sing. Amen? I'll sing with the Spirit, and I'll also sing with the understanding. It's a difficult transition for most believers because we have spent the majority of our lives in the physical, the flesh, and the mental or the soulical regions of our being. Many times we have developed our own minds or our own intellect at the expense of our spirit or our heart. Our intellect or our flesh assume the throne of our lives, while our spirit, which should be ruling our lives, is kept locked away in a prison under an iron mask. May I propose to you today, believers, spirit-filled believers especially, may I propose to you today, put the rightful king of your life on the throne of your heart and watch how God begins to speak to you. It's not that God's not speaking. It's that we're not hearing. We're not in a position to hear. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you. Lord God, we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. Lord, we thank you that...
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at The River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.